You're listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and we're certainly thankful that you're tuned our way. I invite you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will use our broadcast to be a blessing to you today. We're opening this service with a selection entitled The Way of Truth. This song was written by the late H.E. Marquis, who was a member of the congregation for many years. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel with our precious congregation today. We're thankful for each one who is in our congregation, and we're trusting that you'll use us and use our broadcast to be a blessing to each and to every one. We pray thy blessings upon each one, for we know that you love them, we know that you care for them, we know that you know their burdens and their cares and their concerns. So minister to our congregation, bless each one, this we humbly pray, in Jesus' name, amen.
What a fellowship, what a Trust him ever, I shall not be moved. He will fail me never, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved.
I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me.
Our subject for today's broadcast, the heart of Ezra. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So we read in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. Ezra was a leading priest who returned from Babylon to Jerusalem. King Cyrus gave the Jews permission to return to their homeland and appointed Zerubbabel to be governor. He was responsible for the rebuilding of the temple that had been destroyed when the Babylonians captured Jerusalem and carried many of them away into captivity. Now it appears that Ezra did not go up until the second group returned from Babylon, when Artaxerxes was king of Persia. So there was a great need of all that returned and also those that were remaining there to be taught the ways of God. So I wish to speak on today's broadcast the three points that our text speaks of in reference to Ezra. First of all, a heart prepared to seek God's law. Seekers are rewarded. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And we're told by the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, or in the book of Matthew, that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. Cornelius was a man in a military service of the Romans, and he lived in Caesarea, but he was a God-fearing man. thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. So an angel told Cornelius, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. When Peter arrived, Cornelius told him of the angel's visit and what the angel told him to do. And he said, I immediately, therefore, sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou hast come now, therefore, are we here to hear what you have to say to us through the Lord's commands. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 33, not only was Ezra a man who had a heart that's seeking after God, but here's Cornelius seeking after God as well. And results of Cornelius' seeking after God, he was filled with the precious Holy Spirit, he and others there in his household. Then we read about a man, a eunuch from Ethiopia, traveling up to Jerusalem to worship. And he was going home. He evidently didn't really get all that he needed, or what he really needed. There, as he journeyed home, God sent Philip from Samaria, where he had been having a revival, down into the desert to catch up with this man. And he did, and Philip was walking along or trotting along beside the Ethiopian eunuch's chariot, and he was reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And Philip said, ask him, do you understand what you are reading? And the Ethiopian, being a humble man, said, how can I unless some man teach me? And he invited Philip up into his chariot. And Philip took the scripture that the Ethiopian was reading from the scroll of Isaiah and preached unto him Jesus Christ. And so as he went along, the Ethiopian said to Christ, here is water, what doth hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said to him, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And in other words, if you don't, I won't baptize you. So the eunuch said to Philip, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you read in the little epistle of 1 John, you'll find the apostle there saying that those who really and truly believe on Jesus Christ are born of God. So the eunuch was telling Philip, in effect, I have been born again. And so they stopped the chariot, and they went out into the water. No, Philip didn't pour a little water on his head. Both of them went out in the water, and there Philip baptized him. And as they came back out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. He had sought religion up at Jerusalem and had not got what he really needed. But when Philip preached to him the gospel of Christ, he obtained the experience that he was really seeking for. Now we read about the Apostle Paul in his journey. On his second missionary journey, he went over into Europe, and he would travel from Philippi down to Berea, and the people at Antioch did not agree or weren't pleased with him, but the people there at Berea, they listened to what Paul had to say. We read in the scriptures that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. And they received the gospel, therefore many of them believed. Also of honorable women, which were Greek and men, not a few. So we read in Acts 17 and 11. We can say these there at Berea prepared their heart to seek the Lord, and many of them did find the Lord. Now, the second point in regard to Ezra, first of all, he prepared his heart to seek the Lord, and secondly, to do that which he read. He was going to prepare his heart to do what the Scriptures taught. So Ezra had a heart prepared to obey God's law. Obedience from the heart. That's what really counts. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So we read in Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. But you have obeyed from the heart. The Bible tells us man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And whenever there is a heart that is willing and desirous of obeying God, they will find him. Obedience from the heart is very important. After Saul returned from Amalek, I'm talking about King Saul now, after Saul returned from Amalek, having disobeyed the Lord, he told Samuel, the people wanted to spare the finest of the cattle to offer as a sacrifice to the Lord. And Samuel said to Saul, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken, to listen, that is, than the fat of rams. So we read in 1 Samuel 15 and 22, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So we read in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. So even the Son of God learned obedience. And he said, those who are willing to listen to him, to obey him, they too shall have the blessings of Almighty God, by whom we have received great and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Romans 5 and 1. Paul speaks of the time Christ will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's 2 Thessalonians 1 and 8. Peter wrote to the saints, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned, in other words, genuine, love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart earnestly. Now, the third point in regard to Ezra had a heart prepared to teach God's law. Paul told Timothy, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which were the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So we read in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. In chapter 9 of Ezra, we read, "Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken their daughters for them and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass." God had told them not to intermarry with those around them, because he said, if you do, they'll lead you away from me. And that's exactly what had happened. And when Ezra returned from his captivity in Babylon, this is what he found. And it says, even the priests and the Levites, the leaders there, they had done the same thing. They had entered into that trespass of taking wives with others. Now, you know what Ezra did? He required them to put them away. All the nations mentioned here were idol worshipers, and doubtless at least some of the Israelites were worshiping these idols, as well as having married their women and given their daughters to marry some of the men. We note that some of the priests and Levites were guilty along with the rest of the people, and Ezra took drastic steps to correct the matter. We read in 10 and 3, Ezra 10 and 3, "Now therefore let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives such as are born of them, according to the counsel of my Lord, and those that tremble at the commandment of God, and let us be done according to the law." So Ezra took drastic measures to get the Israelites to obey God and to do what God commanded them to do. All of God's ministers are called to teach the Word of God, not the creeds of men, not their own opinions and ideas, but to preach the Word. The Apostle Paul instructed Timothy along this line, "Preach the Word." And Jesus gave the church the commission to go into all the world and teach all nations to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. And another one of the Gospels quotes the Lord as saying, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." So I say all ministers are called to teach, to preach, and to live the Word of God. "Man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And that's Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing these messages, or this message of scriptures and thoughts, with you today. And we trust the Lord will make them a real blessing to you. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for the privilege of sharing it with this congregation, and we're asking thy blessings upon each and every one in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'd like to give you our mailing address, for it would be an encouragement to us if you'd let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. The Way of Truth, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our fax number, 301-739-7173, 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. You can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine there on our webpage. And we also have an archive of our broadcast if you've missed any or would like to hear one over again, www.wayoftruth.org. We would also invite you to be with us in our services if possible. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11. Our evening service begins at 6, and our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. And our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to be with us next week. So again, the Lord willing, we'll be bringing you another Way of Truth broadcast.
In this world I found no rest, sorrow filled my aching breast, till I turned to one who loved me best of all.
I have left all the world to follow Jesus.
too far.